Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. We're glad to have you, and we hope that your tuning in today is more than rewarded by the conversation that you're about to hear with Professor Dr. Nedim Hajic. Dino, as it's easier to call him, was one of the best and the brightest. And, of course, that's why our podcast team went after him to glean his thoughts and his insights. His training and his early professional work were in Sarajevo in Bosnia-Herzegovina. But when he obtained a research fellowship in London, his supervisors soon recognized that he was too good to be allowed to go back home, and there he has stayed. For those of you, and I know you're out there, who follow Croatian football, the center forward for Team Orient in Sušak, Rijeka, that's a suburb of Rijeka, as you all know, is a different Nedim Hajic. Dino now is among the consultant hepatologists at King's College Hospital, where he has cultivated an interest in alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder, as we histopathologists know it, and circulating alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, as you clinicians know it. So today he asks listeners to think about how alpha-1 antitrypsin disease may cause liver disease, and how it may cause lung disease or disease elsewhere. He asks us to think about the reasons that not all persons who harbor variants in SERPINA1, the gene that encodes alpha-1 antitrypsin, manifest clinical disease. And he asks us what can be done to treat severe liver disease associated with SERPINA1 variants. When you click on the cover note that accompanies this podcast, you'll find a half a handful of references that he has recommended for us to take a look at in order to get deeper into this topic. Oh, and Dino and I have a 15-year history of working together at King's College Hospital in London. And we both have the bills and the scars to show for it. Welcome, Dino.
Thank you very much, Alex. That's very kind of you. And as always, you know, you are making things up. I'm probably not as good as you describing me. I've just, you know, happened to be in the right place in the right time. So,
Dino, I talked to your mother and she says you're absolutely that good. Well, alpha-1 antitrypsin disease. Let's just go through the basics and a quick review of the physiology and of the lung versus liver.
Alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency is really still intriguing disease, intriguing condition, because we still do not really know what does cause liver disease, and I think to a similar extent we do not fully understand lung disease. We as pediatricians, we tend to see more liver disease, which for, again, reasons not quite clear, affects more children than the adults, or affects children in a more higher proportion than it affects adults. The mechanisms, if you're talking about pathophysiology, are sure, completely different. You know, the way what is troubling the liver affected by alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency is retention of abnormal protein, which sits somewhere around the portal tracts, and we had many, many happy moments looking at these globules under your microscope, you will remember.
Sure do.
When and really the way why and how they trigger the injury to the liver cell, I don't think people still do not know, despite many, many clever people spending their careers and research interest on the subject. And again, it is not known why some individuals, I'm talking about children here, develop a really quite severe liver disease, while some others, or many others, most of the others, in fact, do not get liver disease by despite carrying similar globules in their livers, even within the same family. On the other hand, the lung disease is this disease which probably is caused by the fact that alpha-1 antitrypsin is so-called acute reactant. So whenever something really triggers the acute immunological response of our body, in the lungs there are a lot of sequential responses, many chain reactions, and job of alpha-1 is to actually switch off some of these so-called proteases, the enzymes causing the injury, and this is why alpha-1 is in that family of PIs, protease inhibitors. And they, this uncontrolled reaction of the immune system does affect the tiny little elements of lungs, alveoli, and causes the degradation and often what we call air trapping and emphysema, which can be quite significant and develops at a relatively early age. But obviously, as pediatricians, we are much more focused on the liver aspects of the condition.
What I wanted, and I suppose that same explanation holds for the tendency to develop aneurysms, the vascular problems in alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder.
I don't know. This is a very valid point, but alpha-1 antitrypsin is ubiquitous protein. So it does has been described in different forms of vasculitis, for example, in some kind of renal problems caused by abnormal lining of the renal vessels. And I suppose the complications you are alluding to in cerebrum, in the brain, probably have something to do with the abnormal and endothelium of the vessels in the brain.
I'm just thinking back to a child who died, I think the day after liver transplantation in Pittsburgh, a child with alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder, who had a splenic artery, 8 years old with a splenic artery aneurysm, and it bled and he died. And we could only put it together as that vasculopathy of alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder. Let's go back to a point to which you've alluded, which is that even siblings with PIZZ alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency related liver disease have a varying degree of liver involvement. Our pal Rupert Hines, is he doing well in Australia?
He's great. He's has great house with a lovely swimming pool, and he's drawing sunshine much more than you and me.
Life is unfair, and we have made bad choices, Dino. There's no way around it. Oh, dear. But I want to touch on that, because what we're saying effectively is that PIZZ status, the biallelic carriage of deleterious variants in SERPINA1, is not uniformly penetrant in terms of causing liver disease. And it strikes me that that must have something to do with the presence in the background, which varies between siblings. Otherwise, I would be one of quintuplets, in identical quintuplets, rather than an outlier in every respect. There must be something in the background of these children that differs, whether it's an environmental event or whether it's a genetic event. And I am going to confess my surprise that you haven't had Richard Thompson's team go through the alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder patients who developed cholestatic liver disease to look for cofactor genes. What if the ones that get sick are heterozygous for an ABCB11 mutation and their BSEP isn't quite up to snuff?
Yeah, that's a great point, because whether being haplo insufficient for certain conditions contributes to your clinical phenotype is something which now puzzles us for many other genetic conditions, as you well know. And we had many discussions along these lines. Alpha-1 carrier state is now well established as something which may pronounce so-called neonatal cholestasis. So if you are PIMZ carrier, then you're known that you may have a higher risk of relatively prolonged neonatal conjugated jaundice than a child who has normal phenotype. And if you are heavy drinker, for example, I learned from my adult colleagues, and if you carry one of the genes, so if you're haploinsufficient, your likelihood to develop alcoholic liver disease is higher than the guy who sits next to you in the pub and doesn't have that allele.
Well, if you can get Richard to buckle down to anything, I hope you can get him to buckle down to this. I know, but still, he's the one with the keys to the kingdom, or to the liquid nitrogen vats. So I would urge you to return.
No, but being serious for a moment, it's multiple hit theories where we probably need to include alpha 1 abnormal alleles as a part of the equation.
Okay. Now we come to another matter, and that is if the problems in alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder are somehow related to the clogging of the endoplasmic reticulum to an accumulation of abnormal protein within that anatomic site, that subcellular site, then... Well, I think then we come to the article in Gastroenterology to which you've referred us, that is using fazirsiran, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, for adults with alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency liver disease. That the article to which you've referred us is a phase 2 placebo-controlled trial. And would you like to walk us through what that trial entailed?
This is obviously alpha-1 for many, many years was quite a static condition because short of liver transplantation, there was really nothing we could clinically do to modify the natural history. And now we have this medication, which I think is one of these mRNA modifiers, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. was shown in the very well-conducted study in adults to actually be able to modify the presence of abnormal alpha-1 in the hepatocytes. They did liver biopsies on both sides of the trial, mm-hmm. so they have documented that that is possible to reduce the amount of alpha-1 in these trial participants. And that seems to be something which is worth remembering for pediatric patients as well. Now, of course, the difficulty is to make a selection. I need to remind us that alpha-1 has different degrees of severity. So you know, there are two people who may have same genetic markers, but one may have heading to transplant, the other one may not even know that he has a condition. So it's a quite dramatic spectrum of severity of the condition. And for the trials of that sort, it is very important to actually pick up the right guys. Mm-hmm. And I think my when I discussed with the colleagues who would be the ideal candidates for such trials for use this drug which apparently are modifying the natural history. We thought that the children who are identified at a very early age, you know, we're talking 6 months, 12 months, would be ideal candidates because these are the guys who are more likely, if they have evidence of severe liver disease at, let's say, 12 months, that their trajectory would be in wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So these are the children, infants, who I would capture and treat with these exciting medications that are emerging.
What's the downside of giving it to people who are PIZZ and clinically asymptomatic?
Well, I don't think that there is an obvious downside to my knowledge, but obviously these are expensive trials and the medications are meant to be given long term. So, my understanding is that these are weekly infusions at this stage, although that
weekly
might be
infusions. Okay.
You know, it is not something you would embark on lightly.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else would you like to tell us about alpha-1 antitrypsin storage disorder and its effects?
Well, I think it's interesting if you think about geographical aspects of alpha-1, we all know that the founder gene is coming from Scandinavian peninsula, and we always thought that Vikings carrying the gene were traveling westwards to whatever British Isles and across the Atlantic elsewhere. But
I remember how excited Yo Zen, who of course trained in Japan, and when he came to King's was to actually to have experience with alpha-1 antitrypsin liver disease. He knew it from books.
Yeah. That's right. Clearly, alpha-1 is not an issue for people practicing in Asia or Africa or some other parts of the world. But what we have learned recently that, for example, Baltic countries have also been affected in a percentages. The prevalence there is significant, probably comparable to Denmark or Ireland, because of the clearly Vikings traveling eastwards as well as westwards.
Speaking for my Swedish ancestors, we went everywhere.
Fair enough, yes. Good.
Okay, so the Baltic countries are now, including Finland, are now a hotspot for alpha-1 antitrypsin work. I can believe that.
I don't understand the link with Hungary, though. I look forward to you helping me understand how Hungary has also actually quite significant in the absence of sea. I respect Balaton, and we had some nice time over there, but it's not easily explainable how Hungary comes with the increased prevalence of alpha-1.
The euphemism in Hungarian for a young lady who is no better than she should be, to use another euphemism, that an English one, is that she is jószívó, she is good-hearted, she is kind. And Hungarian women may have just been a little bit too kind over the years.
I will keep my big mouth shut on that.
Okay. Well, they are practically your neighbors back where you came from. Alpha-1 antitrypsin, I do want to put in just a quick word for the idea that alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency is not a pathologic condition. There are people out there who have null alleles who seem to get along just fine. It's the problem is with variants in the gene that lead to halfway production of a bad form, of a form that continues to be made and makes its way out past the mRNA stage. Nonsense-mediated decay for variants that lead to a termination codon, for example, don't seem to give people so many problems.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because there in the respirology, in the chest medicine, people have a so-called variant PI null, where you don't produce the protein at all. So there's no protein at all, and you may or may not have a lung disease. Again, one of the puzzling thing in this disease is also why not everyone develops emphysema in the context of alpha-1. And then clearly the role of smoking, passive active smoking, has been noted years ago. So one of the very few things which we can confidently say to our teenage children is do not smoke, do not vape, and try not to do binge drinkings. This is what...
It's a difficult task in England.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, That means then that we're not yet to the point at which we can meaningfully palliate pediatric liver disease in these children. We can do it, but the question of in whom we should do it is still very much up in the air.
Yeah.
And that means in turn that there will continue to be a stream of children who wind up needing liver transplantation, and that liver transplantation continues to be a, well, maybe it's a last hope treatment, but a life-saving treatment for these kids. What are your thoughts on liver transplantation in this disorder?
I think liver transplantation clearly has a very established a place in treating children with end-stage liver disease secondary to alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. I think it's a very effective mode. You change the phenotype of these children and they start producing normal protein of the donor of the liver. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say that even in the context of living-related donors, this is sufficient to practically cure the recipient of the liver disease secondary to alpha-1. All these exciting emerging drugs, which I'm sure will come, they need to be tested in the pediatric setting, and it takes time, effort, energy, and I don't think that's around the corner. But clearly, I hope that by the time, you know, maybe in 5 years' time from now, we might be able to select children who are destined to develop bad liver disease and select them for the effective treatments.
Well, that's a hopeful note, and it's a note we're going to end on because there's only so many hours in the day and we've run out of time. Dino, at this juncture in these podcasts, the interviewee generally reminds us all that ESPGHAN is a transnational organization, but that it retains the individual characters of the persons and of the nations to which they belong who make up Europe. ESPGHAN, European. So you have a tough choice now. Are you going to pick a Bosnian or a British song to contribute to our registry of favorite songs of ESPGHAN podcasts, which can be accessed on Spotify?
So yes, that's very good point. But I still, you know, whenever you're taking shower, I suppose you still go back to your origins, and my origins could be also Yellow Submarine. But for this occasion, because British rock music doesn't need any support, I think I would like to remind everyone by on a Bosnian folk song, which was really taken over by a rock group from Sarajevo, which was very dear to my heart at my time. The title is Žute Dunje, or Yellow Quince, for the erudites in the company.
Well, that will be a new song to most listeners. It certainly is to me, but I look forward to hearing it. Dino, thank you for that recommendation, and thank you for coming to talk to us today.
My pleasure, Alex, as always.